him tonight. I want to read some scripture to begin with from the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn to a few different places with me, but I want to read scripture, a verse or two of scripture from several different places, and I believe you'll see what is on my heart tonight. Luke chapter 19, in the 10th verse, Jesus made this statement. This is the account given to us of the conversion of Zacchaeus, and Jesus made this statement. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if we turn to the Apostle Paul's first epistle to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy and made this statement. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." All right, let's look then at the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. In verse 13, Jesus said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." All right, one more place. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's look at what is said in the 9th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And I'm going to set before you this evening those four verses from four different places in the New Testament as a scripture reading tonight. And I want to use for a title this evening, "Because of Him." Because of Him. I was thinking earlier in the week how good that God has been to me. God is so good to His children, isn't He? I mean, He just blesses us far above what any of us could ever possibly merit. You know, there's kind of a saying that God's people have when you ask them oftentimes, "Well, how are you?" They'll say, "Better than I deserve." And you know, that's true, isn't it? I mean, we are treated far better than what we could ever possibly deserve. God is good to us. My life has been richly blessed because of Him. Not because of me, but because of Him. And I've enjoyed in my lifetime, I've enjoyed God's good and His perfect gifts. Again, not because I'm worthy, but because He is a God of grace. He's a God that bestows His good gifts upon us because He just loves us and because He has grace. And I'm so thankful that not only to be able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord in this life, but to know that beyond this world, I'm totally convinced. God has totally convinced me that there is life beyond this life. That there is an eternal world. and that we are all, as humans, that we are an eternal bound being. And I'm thankful that I know that beyond this life, that I have a better life. I have some place to go where I'm going to enjoy the goodness of God even far more than I ever have down here. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he talked about having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, and Paul said that that is far better. And it certainly is. It's far better when we go, when we leave this life and go to heaven. It is far better than what we have here. But it's all because of the Lord. And I want you to know something tonight. These scriptures that I have shared with you, and truly, they are but a few. There are many more that could be read. But I want you to know this tonight, that these scriptures that I have shared with you, they talk about the fact that Jesus came to this world not for His benefit, not for His welfare, but for ours. He came to this world, you know, it was, it was certainly not advantageous to Him personally, because we know what He went through when He came here. He came to this world, and while He was here, He just suffered more than anybody ever suffered. He suffered physically. He suffered emotionally. He suffered many things at the hands of sinful men. And we know, as the Apostle Paul wrote there in the verse that I read from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we know that the Lord left behind great riches. Paul said, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich," and what he's talking about there was where he was at and who he was with. He was in heaven. He was with his heavenly Father. He was surrounded by all that, all the glory of the heavenly world, and he was rich. He wasn't. It wasn't. Paul didn't say that in reference to him being rich with money. He was rich in where he was at and who he was with. And for our sakes, not for his own sake, but for our sakes, the Apostle Paul said he became poor. You know, there's a verse of Scripture that I don't think we really understand. Well, there's a lot of them that I don't think we really fully understand. But you know, in the second chapter of Philippians, when the Apostle Paul wrote and he said that the Lord Jesus Christ humbled Himself, and you've heard me say this before, and I'm sure others, but what that word means there is that He emptied Himself. He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And, you know, Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. He was sinless. He was God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was God, and He humbled Himself, and I don't think we can really fully comprehend that, what He did. How that the Lord, in order to do what He did, how that He had to condescend to come into this world and take up on Him the form of human flesh and live here as a man and become obedient unto the death of the cross. But He did that. He accomplished that, and He was able to do that because He had the power to do it. And we find Him in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, He made that statement. He said, "I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." So He was able to do that. He was able to empty himself, he was able to condescend to the point that he was able to take upon him the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the death of the cross. But you see, that was all for us. That was all for our sake. That was all because there was a world filled with sinners. And these verses that I shared, the scriptures, different writers, Jesus himself said it, the Apostle Paul said it, that Jesus came here and went through the things that he did for the sake of sinners. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're separated from God, if you're lost tonight because of sin and you know that it's not right between you and God, I want you to know this, that Jesus came here to this world for you. He came here to give his life a ransom for your sins and for my sins. He came here because we were hopeless and helpless sinners. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world for what? To save sinners. And Paul looked at himself as the chief of sinners. Jesus said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but who? Sinners to repentance. The Bible tells us that, teaches us in several places, that is all of us. Jesus came here to die for all of us, because Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so listen, I want you to understand this. If you're here tonight and you're one of those that I was talking about, you're somebody tonight that God has made it known to you that you're lost and without the Lord, know this, that you're not the first one that's ever experienced that. All of us here tonight that have a testimony of being saved by grace can all tell you of a time in our life when we realized that we were lost. We realized that we were separated from God. We realized that we didn't have a relationship with the Lord. We realized that we had offended a holy and a just and a righteous God. And we all had to do the same thing. We've all got to come the same way. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. And if you want to be saved, you're going to have to come to the Lord, the sinner that you are. He's never received anybody that tried to come to him with pride. Never received anybody that tried to come to him feeling deserving or worthy of him. He's nigh unto them that have a broken heart. Jesus came here to bind up the brokenhearted. Listen, he's the greatest cardiologist that there's ever been, because he's the only one that can repair the spiritual heart of man. You know, there are those that have studied and are learned and they can work on the natural heart, but only Jesus can work on that spiritual heart. Only Jesus can heal that broken heart. And listen, if you tonight, if you realize that you're lost and separated from God, you need to humble yourself before him, and you need to beg him for his mercy, and you need to beg him for his salvation. You need to become a beggar before God, because you're not worthy of eternal life. I can tell you this. I've shared it before. I got saved right in the middle of my teenage years. I got saved when I was 18. I had all kinds of pride. foolish pride. I remember thinking how tough I was. I'll tell you what, though. The night that the Lord saved me, I sought Him. I mean, I was broken. I was broken. I believe that the night that God saved me, just before He saved me, I got the truest look at myself that I had ever had. I realized what I was. I was a sinner. I was ruined. I had no part with God. Jesus said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. I didn't belong to Him, but I wanted to. I wanted to. But you know what? I had to obey. I had to obey God's commandment that has gone out to all men everywhere to repent. I had to turn from sin. I had to repent of that. I had to turn away from sin. I had to turn to God. And I had to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, we have all of us that have been saved, we may be able to tell different details about our conversion. Some of us perhaps got saved in church. Some of us got saved outside of church. There may be different details, but I'm going to tell you something. We all have to meet the same conditions. We've all got to repent, and we've all got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't get saved until we do. Listen, if God has made it known to you that you're lost, it won't do you one bit of good to pretend you're not. The devil would like for you to. Oh, he would like for you to sit there and pretend like the gospel doesn't bother you. I know he played those games with me when I was lost. He would like for you to sit there and pretend like it doesn't bother you. You know, maybe you can avoid having some good old saint come to you and talk to you about your soul. Maybe you can hide it from them, but listen, you don't really accomplish anything if you do, because you cannot hide your condition from God. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. And you need to seek Him, because He came here. He came here for you and for me. He came here to call you to repentance. Sometimes we, I think maybe sometimes when we think about a calling from God, we may only think about those who have been called into the ministry. But I'm telling you, God called me to repentance. It's a call. It's a calling. It's not just something that we do. It's not just something that we decide on our own. God calls us to repentance. The Holy Spirit of God deals with us and draws us to Him. And if He didn't, we wouldn't come. Listen, if God did not, through the work of His Holy Spirit, if He did not convict us and make us to realize where we stand before Him, we just would not be able to properly come to Him. God, the second chapter of Romans in the fourth verse tells us that God, by His goodness, leads us to repentance. You know, people that think salvation is just a big smiley, you know, oh, I'll just do better. I'll just conform myself. I'll just decide to become a Christian and become a Christian. I think sometimes they think that for people to, you know, for us to tell people that They need to call upon the Lord, and they need to seek Him, and they need to mourn, and they need to be sorry for their sin, and they need to seek Him until they know they've been saved. They think that's foolishness. I'll tell you what that is. That's the way to get real salvation. God has commanded us to repent. I'm going to get to heaven. That's just as sure, that's the most sure thing in my life. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to be there one of these days with all my brothers and sisters in the Lord that have already gone before me. I'm going to be there in the presence of my Lord for all of eternity. But listen, I'm going to be there because of Him. I'm going to be there because of what He did, not what I've done. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Because of Him. Listen. God, here on earth, God doesn't always get what He deserves. Because He deserves all honor and glory. But sometimes, here, we just don't give Him that the way that we should. But listen, in heaven, He'll get it all. Because everybody that steps inside those gates will realize that we're there because of Him. We're not there because of anything that we've done. And the person that has truly been saved, we know that we have received this precious gift that we could have never earned. It's grace. It's all grace. So tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you're in your sins. You know, listen, the first thing is you've got a desire. You've got to want to be saved. God doesn't ever force His grace on anybody. He doesn't force anybody. You've got to want to be saved. You've got to be like that Philippian jailer. You've got to have that interest. What must I do to be saved? You've got to want salvation. And you've got to want it more than you want anything. And I would like for us to have a song. Like I said, my desire towards you, and most importantly, God's desire for you, is for you to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. So let's stand and let's sing. And let's pray. Let's pray for those who are lost.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength in thee is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him.
Listen, if you're lost tonight, why don't you come and call upon the Lord? Why don't you come and seek the Lord? He wants to save you tonight. This could be the best night of your life if you just turn your heart to the Lord and trust Him.
I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain he wore, shit white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garment white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain he wore, it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain he wore, stitched white as snow.
I'd like for us to have maybe another verse or two of